Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Tune in Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear Rose City Native Radio with your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Rose City Native Radio is a new public affairs program bringing you local and national Native issues and Native contemporary music. You can find more information about the show online at kboo.fm or find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio.
Coming up this morning at 11 on Between the Covers, Cliff Ashpaw talks about his debut novella, Josh's Wall, a coming-of-age story about a boy who wakes up with amnesia and encounters a world of bullies, liars, and strangers. And then at 11:30, The Film Show features drive-in theaters. They still exist in Oregon. Find out about the 99W Drive-In in Newburgh, the Northwest Film Center's top-down rooftop cinema, as well as the drive-in at Zidell Yards. Also, we'll hear from Portland Film Fest director Josh Leek about highlights of next month's 2014 festival. That is all coming up this morning on Portland on KBOO. We do have, actually, Air Cascadia is taking off today, so we have an hour-long Flashpoints, and that is going to be starting up next. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. Now a current member... You can become one, excuse me, if you are not now a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Once again, Air Cascadia is off today, so let's get right to Flashpoints on KBOO.
Flashpoints, we continue our drumbeat coverage of Israel's ongoing slaughter in Gaza as the death toll quickly approaches 700 or more, with at least 168 children among the dead, cut down in their beds and cribs and trying to flee for their lives. Also, Los Angeles City Council member Gil Cedillo starts a week-long hunger fast to call attention to the plight of thousands of children fleeing violence in Central America. And Miguel Gabriela Molina reports on Monday's rally and kickoff of the Trail for Humanity's pilgrimage to the U.S.-Mexico border and detention centers along the way to protest the treatment of those kids coming in from Central America. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We continue our drumbeat coverage of the situation in the Gaza Strip, where the Israelis continue to slaughter bomb from air, from sea, from drone, and along with their land invasion, the lockdown and imprisoned population that has nowhere to run. The murder continues, and we continue our drumbeat coverage. Let me tell you who's joining us. We're joined by Barbara Lubin, co-founder of the Middle East Children's Alliance. Also with us is Ziad Abbas, who now works for the Middle East Children's Alliance. And we're joined by, Jihad, and he is here from the Gaza Strip. And so, Jihad, I'd like to start with you, if we could. Mm-hmm. When did you leave the Strip?
I left in August last year.
Oh, okay. And obviously you're in close communication. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who your folks are there now, who you're worried about, and what you're hearing from the ground?
My family is there. My father, mother, two brothers, and my little sister are there. And I'm really worried about them because of the situation. Their situation is so difficult because they had to leave their home. They had to leave their home, and after our neighborhood was heavily bombed by artillery. You mentioned drones, sea and air, but also all the Gaza population who lives by the close to the border area with Israel is being heavily shelled by artillery, which randomly bombs populated areas. So their situation is so hard. It's really hard to connect with them. It's hard to call them and to make sure that they are fine. And they evacuated from a place that is being bombed to another place that is being bombed.
Where is that?
We live in a town called Deir al-Balah. It's in the middle of the Gaza Strip. My town has been heavily bombed since the beginning of the Israeli aggression.
When's the last time you spoke with family?
I spoke to them a few hours ago. Now in the area that they left to it, so that they escape the heavily bombing. The neighbors in that area received a warning from the Israeli army that the house will be hit, and you know, like how they knock the roof by these empty rockets, and unfortunately they are now freaking out for many hours, because until now this targeted house haven't been targeted, and people are really afraid, and so there is nowhere to go.
So they sent one of those knock on the roof bombs, but nothing exploded. So it's a different kind of terror, not knowing whether in 15 seconds or 30 seconds or 40 seconds your house will blow up. You don't know whether you leave or you don't leave. Maybe you leave and you end up in the street and get attacked there. Is that sort of the...
Yeah, actually my cousin's house was bombed today without warning. They tried to bomb the mosque in our neighborhood, but the bomb didn't hit the mosque, but it hit my cousin's house. Fortunately, because the rocket didn't reach the target, which was the mosque, it also hit just nearby their house. And luckily, they were in a room that is a little bit far away from the explosion. So luckily they survived.
Now, tell us just please a little bit more, because we do our best on Flashpoints to try and keep that human face on. And so talk a little bit more about some of the dialogue that you've had and some of the fears that people are sharing with you, and you know, how they're trying to survive.
The problem in Gaza now is that there is nowhere to live. In such situations, when there is war or fighting, civilians should be granted the right to evacuate to safe places. In Gaza, it's different because people have nowhere to go. They escape from an area that is being targeted to another area that is being targeted. And all these explosions and all these bombings happen randomly, and they don't take into consideration the amount of civilian casualties that might fall. Until now, I lost two friends. One friend is from school, from childhood. He was sleeping. He was taking a nap in his apartment, and he was killed while sleeping. His house was hit by a rocket that was launched from the sea, and that's it. This is how it happened. He was taking a nap. He was civilian. He was doing nothing. He was sleeping on his bed, and suddenly, the house was targeted, and he was killed. Another friend was killed while fleeing Al-Shija'iyya neighborhood in Gaza City, which was exposed to the extremely violent ground invasion, and he was killed. He was shot in his back while fleeing.
And in terms of your cousin, this is somebody you grew up with?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit more about your cousin?
Well, actually, I'm talking about my friend from childhood.
Yes.
We went to school together. We knew each other in school, and I was really surprised when I heard about his death. He's a normal person like me and you. He goes to school now. He goes to university. He has a life. He's just a normal person. He was just trying to take a nap in daytime, because in nighttime you can barely have a sleep. I was talking to my father a few days ago, and like I'm talking about 2 minutes phone conversation. In these 2 minutes, we counted 7 explosions. by the heavy artillery that is being shot at our neighborhood. So my family couldn't really stay where they are. And this also applies to my friend who was killed. And this applies to 1,800,000 people who are stuck in the Gaza Strip right now. So it's a really difficult situation that civilians are paying, the Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip are paying the heaviest price.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. That was Jihad just in here from the Gaza Strip, speaking with family there. And the killing continues, as we said in the opening. My latest figures from the UN are 700 or more dead, over 168 children dead among the 700, many women and children, and I guess we have to say almost overwhelmingly civilians. Let me bring you into this, Ziad Abbas. You've been tracking this as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been able to learn in terms of today and what you're hearing, maybe from Dr. Mona and others?
Yeah, actually listening to Jihad and listening for what's going on there, and especially when you have very strong connections with people there and you know them and your relatives, your friends, your colleague, it's really very hard even to speak about it or to explore it like inside yourself. Today, yeah, I spoke with our colleague, Dr. Mona, and she was still at her the house where she's staying with in that building, where she tried to help as much as she can during the night. During the day, she's in the clinic helping in the clinic, and during the night, she's in this building where the people, they feel more secure when they have a doctor in the building, and there are many apartments in that.
Well, it's obvious building. Why they would feel secure, because any minute, any one of them could be in a life-threatening situation where they would need a doctor.
Yeah, it's something very hard to imagine. Even sometimes when you speak with your relatives and you speak with your colleagues, and I'm sure Jihad, you can hear that. It's like you imagine you speak with someone and you hear the background of music. But in Gaza Strip, when you speak with anyone, you hear the background there. It's like the sounds of bombs and the shelling or the helicopters, etc. And even sometimes you can hear that in their voice, the way how the voice change when they hear the bomb. And this is what happened actually today when I was speaking with Dr. Mona in the ground. Actually, you spoke about the number. The number are increasing. And right now, it's the new day started in Gaza Strip. Right. And the number is increased. And especially right now, they are focusing, the Israel, they are shelling and targeting Khan Yunis area. And Khan Yunis and Khuza'a and Bani Suhaila and all this area.
This is in the northern part where they're
in the northern part.
Where the military invasion is happening.
Exactly. And today, in our time, which is yesterday in Palestinian time, you speak about 31 people, they were killed only in Khan Yunis. I'm not speaking about the rest of Gaza Strip. So they are targeting this area. And they targeted Khuza'a. And they didn't allow the Red Cross cars, despite the fact that the Red Cross, they are communicating with the Israeli army, calling them that to allow them to enter the area, at least to evacuate the wounded people. And the people, they were killed. And there are children and families inside. And they allowed them to enter. And during when they came to enter the area, especially Khuza'a area, they bombed when the Red Cross there and the ambulances tried to get the area. And later they allowed them to, they entered and they evacuated 31 bodies and hundreds of people, they were injured. You speak about every day there is a massacre targeting certain area. And as Jihad said, like no safe place in Gaza Strip. This is what you hear from the people. Where you will go? Gaza Strip is 139 square miles and it's very populated area. And that's why they are targeting the areas. There are empty areas. No one will go there. Even the people, they evacuated their houses. They left their houses and they moved to the UN schools. And we saw yesterday the way how they targeted the UN school in Maghazi refugee camp, and the people, they were there inside the school. And sometimes it's hard to believe. People, when you speak with them, they say it depends on luck. Even this is the sense of a humor. Like Dr. Mona today, she was telling me, please, if something happened, write something good about me. And she was like, to make it like she's normalizing it and make it like normal. And you can't handle this kind of people. Inside our imagination, I think jihad, like in our brain, you think about this bad news, maybe it will come. And all the time you try to keep yourself or myself strong that I don't want to hear this moment there is someone killed or someone. But in fact, all the time when you watch the news or hear the news, you see the numbers increasing, the number of children, the number of women, the number of people, human beings, they are increasing every hour during this attack.
Again, we're talking about the situation in the Gaza Strip. It is daylight in the Gaza Strip now. The shelling is heavy. The attacks are heavy. And this show is going to be doing drumbeat coverage of this story, which is perverted, undermined, misreported, not reported, or censored, deeply censored by the mainstream press. So we have a big job here to try and get the word out. Did you want to add something, Jihad?
I mean, adding to what Ziad said regarding the situation, there is something about lacking now. You know, when time passes by, basic services start to deteriorate. Now we are talking about the luckiest amongst the Gaza population. Now, the luckiest get electricity just 4 hours a day. And in Gaza, for you to have water, you have every house has a special pump to get the water from the municipality water network. So in order to have water in your house, in order to fill your tanks, you have to have electricity so that you pump the water that is being that comes from the municipality. Unfortunately, now we are talking about a situation where hundreds of thousands of people live without electricity and water, which is and if the situation stays